Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome, everybody. This is your host, Chris Deacle. We have two great guests in studio with us. We have a person who came over from Russia in 2000 and is now an entrepreneur over here, and that's going to be a lot of fun to talk with, Larissa Nichols, who is a independent representative, send out cards. So we'll be interested in comparing and contrasting things in Russia with things here, and you've got quite a story to tell us, too. Lorraine Beato is a realtor with the Palmer House and specializes in not only investment properties but also homes, particularly higher-end ones, and foreign people who are looking for houses. She's multilingual and is fluent in Portuguese, which has got a huge following with all the money that's in Brazil right now. So I expect to know another millionaire shortly.
So, sounds great to me.
Well, we do our best. We try. So I'd like to start now with you, Larissa. Let me back this guy up here and get this thing cooking here. All right, we had a little technical challenge here to make sure we got everything on tape here. I wanted to start with you, Larissa. Larissa Nichols with Send Out Cards, and you came over from Russia.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And I never looked back.
But what's the difference between doing business over here and you know, what were you doing in Russia?
Back in Russia, I had a job with Petroleum Research Institute. I was translating from English to Russian and back. It was a lot of fun, and it was very prestigious. So I enjoyed it.
And how did you, and you actually studied to become a English, you know, instructor?
Yes, my education is teacher of English for high school and middle school. But teaching is not really my cup of tea. I just wanted to speak of the English language.
Yeah, and what was your dream as a child? You got into this for a reason, I understand.
It happened so that when it came time to choose which language you take in middle school, I chose English, and I fell in love with the language. My first lesson, I remember falling asleep that night and repeating, "Is this? This is." And the dream was actually to be tour guide for foreigners in a closed city. It never happened, as you can imagine. I just taught English after the university for 3 years and then worked in a library in a department of foreign languages. So then the job that I had right before coming over to the United States.
So doing the translation. So when you came over here, you really didn't have a whole lot of exposure to American-style business. Was that a shock?
Actually, I got a job which looked pretty much the same way as a job I had back in Russia. It's working for someone. And then much later, in January 2011, when we started our life together, Gilbert Nichols, my husband and I, he introduced me to the Send Out Cards business.
Oh. Now, what is Send Out Cards?
Send Out Cards is an online system where anyone can create a greeting card using their own pictures, their words, or using templates that are available and send it anywhere in the world. And also invite people to do the same and get commission on that.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So people can have customers anywhere in the world, actually.
Yeah, well, tell me about Send Out Cards and the kind of cards they have, and how do you use them? How would a business use that?
Anywhere from thank you to just because, and thank you for your business. There are several categories in the catalog that are specific to different industries. So any business owner can just create a campaign and send anywhere from 2 to 5 to 12 cards to their current customers so as to keep relationship with them going and have repeat business and generate referrals that way.
How would a salesperson use this?
To reach out to current customers and ask for referrals and ask for repeat business. And everybody knows the story of Joe Girard who sent out greeting cards to his customers, and people were lining up to buy cars from him like there's no dealership down the road, just one block. And he made a record, right? Well, record. No one sold more cars than he did in his lifetime.
And just by staying in touch with his customers and saying thank you.
Right. Nothing specific, just I like you. I appreciate your business.
Now, what makes you send out cards so much better than going down to the Hallmark store?
It's a whole lot cheaper, and you can put your own words. And if you made a mistake, you can definitely erase it because you have so many hours before the card gets printed that night. And the price, you cannot compare the price, and quality is outstanding.
So, is this on the internet? I presume from the way you're talking about it, it sounds like it is.
Yes, it's cloud computing. You don't download anything on your computer. You create a card on their website, which is like your own place where you can store all your contacts and store all your pictures. And the system will send you reminders, so it's completely yours, completely pertaining to the business you're doing. Or if you're using it for personal purposes, you can have all your contacts in there with all the important dates.
So by loading all the contacts, it makes it very easy to send them a postcard announcing something or asking for referrals or whatever the strategy is that you're implementing.
Precisely. Yeah, it's very easy. And besides, it's a great opportunity for anyone who wants to generate an extra stream of income to do so. Because let's say once you have 300 customers, that will generate extra $1,000 a month. Let me compare that with an investment. You will have $250,000 in the bank to generate that kind of interest. And most of us have that kind of mortgage, not investment in the bank.
Yeah, exactly. One of the great benefits of something like this is convenience. I mean, it's very easy to send a single card, isn't it?
Yes, there's no minimum requirement, and you can just be in your pajamas on your laptop any time, day or night.
Okay, sales professionals out there, all you people, in your jammies, working from home. You now have a way to send a thank you card to your newest customer without having to go to the store and change clothes to do it. This sounds like a salesman's dream.
Mm-hmm. It is. And you can actually also add any gifts from the gift catalog. And everybody's favorite is brownies. It's amazing that people who live here all lifelong tell me that they have never had better brownies than the ones that send out cards offers.
What else can you include with a card as a thank you gift?
There is a variety of gift cards, and you can put as much as $200 or as little as $5 on that card.
Oh, wow.
It can be American Express. It can be Target. It can be TJ Maxx. It can be Macy's. It can be Home Depot card, Kohl's, a lot of cards.
So if you have somebody that has gone out of their way to help you and you want to say thanks, good way to do it, right?
Right. You don't have any excuses. You have a system. Just go and do it. And the reason, actually, I chose this particular network marketing company because it's all about somebody else. You send cards to make somebody else's day. You don't put anything on your skin or in your mouth or clean anything in your house. It's not about you. It's about making someone else's day and making change in someone else's life. Because people receive those cards and they actually not just keep them, they display them on their fridges and mantles, and they send thank you cards for my card.
Now, I'll have to make a confession that I've been mixed up with and used the send out cards for a long time, and it is the only thing that has ever given me the ability to send out Christmas cards. and actually get them out sometime before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, there is still, you know, a window. You have to be reasonable and send your cards out a week or two before. You'll get a reminder in the email. If you have an account, Chris, you definitely know that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the cost of these compared to going down to the local store and buying a gift card, filling it out, putting the postage on, putting it in the mail. How does that compare?
It depends on the plan. Your two-panel greeting card can be just 93 cents, and that is with your pictures in it and any text you want, how many pictures you want, plus you pay 46 cents for postage, and that's it. And you never touch the card. You don't mess with ink, no paper. You don't have to worry about any of that. A very convenient option for any business owner because there's no extra cost for admin work. None of that on you.
Very easy. High-quality cards, too.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
I will send
amazing.
You one after the show.
They're amazingly good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Business coaches are another good market for that. They are big believers in it, and their clients use them because they're great ways to stay in touch with clients, prospects, and people remember cards.
That's right. They don't delete them like emails. They keep them.
Because they come in the mailbox and not in the inbox.
Right. Absolutely. It's 100% open rate. People are so used to junk mail. The envelopes cards come in don't look like junk mail. And people definitely open it and take a look at what you have to say.
I will tell you one thing that I had occasion to say thank you to a group that went way out of their way to help me repair an item I had. I sent them a $25 gift card and said, have fun. And they called me up having a party.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they will ever forget me if I ever need something else?
Absolutely not.
Because they said, nobody's ever done this for us. If you want to make an impression, it's a great way to do it. So if people are interested in this, Larissa, how do they get in touch with you?
People can just give me a call and we'll make an appointment. They will take a look at what system is, and if it's a good match, we will definitely open up an account.
And what is your number?
678-332-6607.
Okay, everybody, your last excuse for not sending out cards just vanished. So give Larissa a call. You'll be glad you did. It's a great little service, and I've used it myself and can endorse it. So let's go over to Lorraine Beato. You're our famous realtor. You have quite a background. You started in New York as an appraiser.
Correct. I started in the real estate industry in New York. Actually, as a salesperson while I worked full-time for Merrill Lynch and then decided that I liked doing the appraisal end of it also. So I did both. Actually started life out on the mortgage-backed securities trading floor with Merrill Lynch. And then that kind of sparked my interest. So I started with that, moved into the appraisal industry, got the opportunity to meet Mr. Donald Trump, who just grew that fire even more, and I've been going ever since.
Well, that is, you know, he's been modestly successful in real estate.
Just a little bit.
How is doing business in Rye, New York, different than here? And for people that don't know where Rye is, where is that?
It's in Westchester County, and it's probably one of the most prestigious suburbs of, you know, New York City.
Big money.
Big money. Yes, big money. And when I was there, I was, you know, doing appraisals, and it was different because the market was very different. We're also talking, this was, you know, 17 years ago, and a lot has changed. But just, you know, you're looking at older homes, what I like to call old money. You know, they're mostly professional people, which you've got here in Atlanta and the suburbs at all. But I have to be honest, I've been back there in about 17 years, so it's I'm sure it's very different now.
Probably is more wealthy.
Probably.
I don't think I've ever met a pauper from Westchester County. So after having that background and appraising a lot of homes, you came down here.
We came down here with a move from General Motors with my husband, and I went from working full-time to being a stay-at-home mom, which lasted all of 3 months, and because I don't know how to sit still. So I had looked into having my license in Georgia, found that there was reciprocity, and immediately had my license transferred and started on the sales end of it here in Atlanta.
And how long ago was that?
That was in March of 96.
96. So you've been in this market for quite a long time.
Yes, I have. And I've seen it do all sorts of things.
Up, down, sideways, and everywhere else.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. Well, where are we now in the market?
We are actually starting to trend up, which is really great. We're starting to turn from a buyer's market into a seller's market. We are at an all-time low for listings. It's been the lowest amount of properties on the market in the 13-county area of what's called Metro Atlanta. We're down to about 10,000. From what I've been able to find out, that's we are at 1993 numbers as far as inventory goes.
Is that in a particular price range, or is that overall?
That's overall.
Are there gluts, or are there pockets that have still an oversupply versus areas that are they're just desperate to find a listing?
What we found is that right now, if there's a property that's under the $500,000 price point, we are in a seller's market. Once you go $500,000 and up, you're still in a buyer's market. It's that luxury property that's still having a little bit of a hard time trying to get some traction. But I am seeing homes go under contract in 3 and 4 days.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, that was unheard of 2 years ago.
Absolutely. 2 years ago, we had approximately 123,000 homes on the market compared to the 10,000 now.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Yes.
A glut.
Yes, completely.
So you also, I know, do a lot of work. I know you just bought some property down in Hilton Head and refurbed it and rehabbed it. And I don't know if you flipped one. Tell me, how did you get involved with this rehabilitation stuff? And, how does that help you in your practice? And who do you help because of the things you've learned from doing that?
Yes, we did. We purchased two properties in Hilton Head back in October, and I actually got involved with remodeling. My husband and I have always been pretty handy, and I like taking something ugly and making it nice. And throughout the years...
Can you do anything for me?
Sure, I can help you, no problem. We'll go shopping when we're done.
That's why I'm on radio.
And we're very hands-on people. So, but by doing some of our own projects a couple of years ago, and we actually have a small lake property that we completely rehabbed ourselves. So I can now say I have installed tile and hardwood floors. I just love the process. I love the transformation. So having done that on my own and having helped other clients, I can pretty much go into a property, see what needs to be done, and I'm pretty much on the mark with estimates of repairs. I've done that several times for several of my clients, and we just did this in Hilton Head where the property that we bought had been vacant for 3 years. We gutted out the entire inside, redid the whole thing, and I set my budget. And I only came in 5% above my budget. So I thought that was pretty good.
That's dead on.
Pretty much.
That's dead on.
Pretty much. If we hadn't had an issue with one of the contractors, I think we would have hit the mark completely on.
Yeah. And that's really... part of what you learned as an appraiser is how to really analyze a property and cost of construction and deterioration, repair, and all sorts of things that you have to consider as an appraiser.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
So you've helped several investors in the Atlanta area find properties. Is that right?
I did. I have been working actually with a couple for the last 2 years. We actually sat down and had lunch yesterday, and I have helped them through 10 properties. And in those 10 properties in the last 2 years, when we sat down and ran their numbers, they've made an estimated $500,000 in clear profit. That's after expenses, after paying realtor fees. It doesn't include taxes. But a lot of that money was also done through investing through a self-directed IRA, where you're not paying taxes. That money grows tax deferred.
You keep using the money out of your IRA and just roll it forward.
Correct, exactly.
So, what is the secret to picking a good investment property?
a lot of research. it's a lot of really looking at the numbers, looking at the property. What does it need? You know, what kind of repairs does it need? What is currently selling on the market? What have things sold for? It's a process. I mean, you just can't go and say, oh, this looks good. You really have to analyze the numbers.
And be sure that you're building out a profit with the numbers.
Right, absolutely.
And after considering all the costs that, of not only buying it and the closing costs and all that, but also the things you have to do to a property.
Sure.
How do you help with, you know, let's say I've bought an investment property and it's a rental property. You know, how can you help me as an investor? I don't want to get mixed up in, you know, going down and taking doors off hinges to get my money.
So as far as I can help you get a property leased, that's something that that I do offer. I help landlords find tenants. I just did one the day before yesterday. I help landlords, either landlords or even people that are moving. For example, the couple that I had, they had a home out in Decatur. They work here in Alpharetta, and they're upside down. They're not at a point that they can sell right now. So I ran the numbers for them, and we were able to get it leased where it covers all of their expenses. So they've got a wonderful professional couple that are moving in this weekend. In the meantime, they're living here in Alpharetta. They're going to wait for the market to turn around. And I took care of the entire process for them, from, you know, lease, listing the property, finding the tenants, doing the background check. The only thing that I don't do is property management, but I do have contacts that do that.
And you have reliable people that will take over that responsibility.
Sure, absolutely.
For landlords that do work with you, if the property needs ongoing maintenance, is that something you can help with by putting contractors and people you know on the job for them and managing that?
Yes, absolutely.
Which is one of the toughest things. If you have a house here, you decide maybe I want to come back and live in it.
Right.
You move to Dallas. You can't fly back here every weekend to, you know, dab paint on something that needs work.
Right.
You know, and having somebody that can take that responsibility and you know that will find the right contractor, get the right price, and get it done is invaluable.
Yes, and I'm very much a hands-on person. That's something that I just do. You're my client. There's no charge for it. There's no fee for it, you know, and it comes back in the end because then I've got that repeat business, as Larissa was talking about, because I did the right thing and I've done the right job. I didn't just walk away, especially if I know that my client is currently living out of town.
What effect has the recession had on the real estate industry and the people that are in it over the last 5 years?
I think the diehards are still here. Those that really knew the industry, that's their passion. That's what they want to do. I think we lost a lot of the people that were dabbling in it as a hobby because the market was hot and you could sell anything. You definitely have to be much more knowledgeable now with the way the lending has changed, the market has changed. You really have to know your stuff.
Yeah. What mistakes have you seen other realtors make in handling property?
The biggest issue that we were having probably about a year ago, it's starting to shift a little bit, were appraisal issues. Agents were either listing their properties too high or having their clients offer too high on a property and the property wasn't coming back and appraising. And then you're looking at, you know, potentially the loan falling apart or the buyer or the seller being disappointed or the seller having to come down in price. And that's where having an appraisal background is really important. I have yet to have a deal fall apart because of an appraisal issue.
Yeah, so often people will give you giant numbers just to list the house, even though there's no possibility the market will support that price. You keep them from making that mistake because what's the downside of having the wrong price on a property?
It's going to sit there for a long time, and then they're going to be mad at me because it didn't sell. So, and I have walked away from properties if I feel that the listing price is not justifiable and it's just a number that they throw out there because they want to throw out there. I won't do it. I'll walk away.
Oh, this house is worth $1 million. I know right. It is because it's mine.
Exactly. Exactly.
I know, but, you know, it's got four wheels on it and you pull it with a truck.
So that's why when I sit down and I explain the numbers to them, you know, have I ever listed something higher than I thought it should be? Yes, with the caveat that in 2 weeks, if we have no movement and nothing happens, you're coming down to the price I told you to put it at.
Now, what's the hardest kind of house to price?
One that's unusual, one that there really aren't any comparables for. One that's quite difficult is properties up on Lake Lanier. Because there's so many different styles, there's so many different types of properties. Then how close are you to the core? What's your core line? What kind of a dock do you have? Can you put a dock? There's a lot of variables up on Lake Lanier, and I would say that has probably been my most challenging market.
It's a very difficult market because there are a million combinations up there.
Correct.
Houses, ages, rehabs, new construction, everything in the world. Creeks that dry up but look fine now.
Right.
There are a lot of factors up there, and you really have to know your business to do that.
Yes, and then you're on the north side of the lake or you're on the south side of the lake. It's all different.
And every place, and it's never the same. It's also changing a lot as stuff sells.
Right, exactly.
And I know the prices up there were very high a few years ago. The recession brought a lot down, and there's still a lot of inventory up there.
Yes.
That's not moving. Places that... Or quote, on the water that, you can see it.
Exactly. Or they say it's on the water and, you're looking down a major cliff and it's like, how do I get down there?
Well, there's always the leap of faith.
There you go.
So advice now for homeowners. If you're in a home, what's your advice to somebody that's in a home now?
If they're thinking about moving or...
Let's take a few scenarios. Let's say we've got somebody that's happy with where they're living. Are there improvements they could make to that house to make it more valuable?
Yes. The biggest improvements of course, you have to have your regular maintenance on a property. That just goes without saying. But the biggest places where you can put your money into and see it come back out is generally your kitchens and your bathrooms. Upgrading that, renovating it, more and more houses, it's very difficult to sell a home now that doesn't have granite countertops, for example, because, all the builders put it in, even the lower end properties now have granite. It's just something that's almost expected at this point.
What else can you do? And is there some kind of rule of thumb about how much money you ought to invest in something like that as an upgrade?
There is, and it depends on the price point of the property. I'd have to really go back and check numbers. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, but you don't want to put $50,000 in a $150,000 house.
Oh no, absolutely not. you can probably if you have a $150,000 house, depending on the size, you could probably look at granite maybe running you $3,000 to $5,000 depending on how much counter space you have. So it's really not that much. And if it's someone who's looking or thinking about selling the property, if they have the money out of pocket, they're better off doing the renovation, because a lot of buyers do not have vision. They can't picture what something will look like, or they don't have the money out of pocket to put into a property. They'll roll it into a mortgage, pay a little bit more for a house that has the upgrades, and roll it into a monthly payment than plunking it out of their pocket.
So if you want to sell your house or stage it so at some point it'll be an easy sell,
yes,
these are the kind of things you can do all along that will pay off. Now, what can you do in the bathrooms?
You can upgrade the bathrooms depending on what you have in there. And I know there's it's going back and forth. There's been a big change from brass fixtures to the brushed nickel or the chrome. That's kind of coming back. More of that fashion forward, a little bit more modern type of a look is something that's really starting to trend right now.
So you can upgrade your fixtures, fairly modest fee.
Yes. And you can, and you don't have to go to an extreme. I mean, the house we just did in Hilton Head, all of our fixtures came from Lowe's, and your Lowe's and your Home Depot are really starting to carry more transitional pieces that look like they're a bit higher end, and they're really not costing you an arm and a leg. I mean, it doesn't have to come out of, the Atlanta Homes magazine. You can find something that looks just like it, has a great look, but doesn't hurt your pocketbook.
What about the rest of the bathroom? Tile floors, shower surrounds, things like that?
It depends. It depends on what it looks like. If you have just kind of your white tile, you're probably fine. It depends on your budget. It's really a case by case.
Now, the higher end the house, the more you have to put into it to make an impact, I presume.
Yes.
So Yeah. If people are interested in investment real estate, you know, particularly residential,
yes,
you'd consider yourself an expert, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I've been in the industry since 1988, so yeah. I would say so.
Yeah, now, what price range of houses have you put people into as investments?
Majority of what I've done as far as investors go to rent or to lease is in that 100 to 200 price point. The investors that I've been working with on the homes that they have refinished and flipped have gone anywhere from a retail price of 300 all the way up to 800,000.
Wow.
Yes.
So very, very good opportunity if you're an investor and you have cash that's making 2% or less in an account.
Yes.
When you hear returns like $500,000 on property, clear money, that's pretty good.
Yes, and I will say this. The market is now being flooded with all of these retirement funds and these funds out from California, especially. We're seeing them at the steps, at the foreclosures. So they got in at the right time. You're not seeing those deals anymore. I mean, they had one house that they had a spread of $200,000. That's becoming very difficult to come by. And the market is also starting to turn around.
So where should people be looking now? Now that, somebody said, pretty accurate. I said, by the time you see the bandwagon, it's too late to get on. Where's the next thing to get on? Is there an opportunity in the market that's just emerging?
I think there's always opportunity in the market. There's talk that banks still have a boatload of foreclosures that are going to be coming out. I just read something on that about a week ago that they're calling it shadow foreclosures. So we'll see what happens, because unfortunately, with these investment companies, these big portfolio investment companies out from California, it's gotten to the point where they have driven the prices up of these properties, even at the auctions, to where they don't make sense. The price retail doesn't make sense. They've driven up the price. But there's always opportunity. I found one the day before yesterday for this same investor couple that's actually a short sale that they're looking at. And they know with a short sale, you're going to have to wait. But the banks are getting better at going through the short sale process.
No, they've had enough practice.
Yes, they have.
So if you're an investor or if you're looking to sell your house or buy one, how do they get in touch with Lorraine?
The best way to get me is by giving me a call on my cell phone, or you can shoot me a text message, whichever you prefer. And that is 404-429-7354.
One more time.
404-429-7354.
Okay, everybody, you now know how to say thank you, and you certainly know a lot more about how to invest in real estate and how to find a good realtor who can talk like Lorraine. So it's been a pleasure having both of you on. Thank you for being on our show today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.